Hey, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're talking about Valley of Genius by Adam Fisher. Sophie, have you ever wondered if the tech legends we hear about were really as visionary as we think?
Oh, all the time. And this book is the perfect answer. It's an oral history of Silicon Valley, so you hear directly from the engineers, the VCs, the hackers, even the journalists who were there. It's like listening to a bunch of brilliant, messy people tell the real story, not the polished one.
Right. And the first thing that hit me was that it didn't start in a garage. It started with hobbyists in the 1970s, like the Homebrew Computer Club, a bunch of tinkerers meeting in a Menlo Park garage.
Exactly. And Steve Wozniak describes the Apple I not as a business plan, but as a gift to the club. He wanted to show off his design. That ethos of sharing and open collaboration was the original operating system of the Valley.
But then money and ambition showed up, and things got complicated. The book shows Steve Jobs not just as a visionary, but as a master manipulator. There's this story about him hiring Wozniak to design Breakout for Atari for a fraction of the fee, and he pocketed the difference.
Yeah, it's not a hagiography. You see Jobs from every angle, the charismatic leader and the demanding tyrant. The oral history format gives you that you are their quality that a traditional biography just can't.
And then there's the story of the graphical user interface and the mouse. Xerox PARC had invented it, but they didn't see its potential. So Jobs visits and, as one engineer put it, saw the future and stole it. The book doesn't judge that. It presents it as a fundamental dynamic.
Right, innovation is messy. It's borrowing, improving, and selling. The Macintosh wasn't the first GUI computer, but it was the first one that felt magical. They obsessed over everything, from the cursor shape to font rendering.
Then the focus shifts from hardware to software. Bill Gates is presented as a different kind of genius, not a product visionary like Jobs, but a ruthless businessman who could see the chessboard several moves ahead.
And the battle between Apple and Microsoft isn't good versus evil. It's a clash of two philosophies, the closed, integrated system versus the open, licensed platform. That framing really helped me understand the whole landscape.
Absolutely. Then we hit the early internet, which the book describes as a digital gold rush. The story of Netscape is wild. Mark Andreessen and Jim Clark took the company from zero to $1 billion market cap in record time.
It was a signal that the internet was the next great economic engine. But that manic energy led to the dot-com bubble. The book doesn't just chronicle the crashes. It explores the psychology, the collective delusion that profit and loss no longer applied.
You hear from founders of Pets.com and Webvan. Companies burning billions with no clear path to profitability. It's like listening to people in a fever dream. But the book argues the crash was necessary. It cleared the hype and left behind the real substance: Amazon, eBay, and Google.
And Google is the triumph of algorithm over hype. Larry Page and Sergey Brin weren't building a media company. They wanted to organize the world's information. The technical brilliance of PageRank and that quirky academic culture, like the famous 20% time policy, all stemmed from a belief that creativity can't be scheduled.
Yeah, they built the most efficient advertising machine in history, but they did it by solving a real problem for users. Then we get to the iPhone, which is like the ultimate synthesis of the two philosophies, a closed, integrated system like the Mac, but also a platform for a vast ecosystem of apps.
The development was a bet the company gamble, and it paid off spectacularly. The iPhone didn't just change the phone. It put a powerful computer in everyone's pocket and created the conditions for the app economy, the gig economy, and the social media revolution.
And then there's Facebook, which is the most troubling story. Mark Zuckerberg is portrayed as a brilliant but socially awkward programmer who accidentally created a tool that reshaped human interaction. The book traces its evolution from a college directory to a global behemoth.
It doesn't shy away from the darker side, privacy scandals, misinformation, and the realization that the attention economy can be destructive. The founders believed they were making the world more open and connected. The book leaves you to judge whether they succeeded.
Throughout, a few themes really stand out. First, the importance of place. Silicon Valley is a physical ecosystem where talent, capital, and ideas collide. Stanford, Sand Hill Road, the informal networks of engineers moving between companies.
Second, the role of failure. The Valley is unique in celebrating failure. Failed startups aren't endings, they're learning experiences. The culture rewards risk-taking, and the stigma of failure is remarkably low.
And third, the tension between idealism and pragmatism. The Valley was founded on a utopian vision of technology as a force for good, but that idealism has repeatedly been corrupted by greed and the pressure of the market.
The most powerful insight, though, is the sheer randomness. The people who built the digital world weren't omniscient visionaries. They were stumbling, improvising, and making it up as they went along. The success of Google, the iPhone, and Facebook wasn't inevitable.
It was 1,000 small decisions, lucky breaks, and moments of sheer stubbornness. The book demystifies the genius of Silicon Valley and reveals it as a deeply human story of ambition, collaboration, conflict, and in relentless optimism.
Yeah, and I think that's what I'm taking away. It's not a paradise. It's a human ecosystem with all the beauty and ugliness that implies. And this book captures that perfectly.
For me, the takeaway is that innovation is messy and accidental. We don't need to wait for a genius. We just need to create spaces where brilliant, flawed people can collide and stumble into the future.
And if you want to hear more stories like this, the whole library is over at 7minutebooks.com/app. You get over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language, starting at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 once for lifetime access. So, in the end, Valley of Genius is a chorus of voices that shows us the future wasn't designed. It was stumbled into. And that's oddly comforting. We'll see you in the next one.